This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're going to do some money and politics. Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, syndicated columnist. Steve Moore, FreedomWorks, Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline, and WABC radio host of More Money, coming up on many of these same stations. Greetings, kids. I want to just talk for a minute about House Speaker Mike Johnson. Interviewed him on the TV show this week. Steve Moore, go to you. He's saying give Israel the money. He got his $14 billion through. The rest of it, no. Now, here's the thing. Senator Ron Johnson was on this radio show at the top of the show, and he said he's got a group of Republicans that will prevent cloture unless Schumer deals with the border security changes of policy and also a discussion of the Ukraine. In other words, the Johnson plan, which Schumer says he won't take up, the Mike Johnson plan, the Speaker Johnson plan, but Senator Ron Johnson says he's got enough Republicans to prevent cloture unless they take up the border security along with Ukraine. What do you think of that? Are you hearing anything about that? Because that is a key battle coming up this week.
Let me just say, kudos to Mike Johnson. I've actually only met him once or twice. I wouldn't say I know him very well, but I'm just completely impressed with what he's only been Speaker for, 2 weeks? And he's already got the Democrats tied in the knots like a pretzel. And I thought his strategy on the Israel aid bill was magnificent. And he's basically saying to Biden, you mean you're going to kill Israel aid because you want 87,000 new IRS agents? That's your higher priority. I think it's brilliant. And by the way, that was one of the first times, Larry, in a couple of years where we've actually had a bipartisan vote. You know, I think there were 12, 15 Democrats who crossed over and voted for that bill. In other words, I think that the strategy that this speaker needs to use, and he used it this time, is to divide and conquer the Democratic Party. There are still 15 to 20 reasonable Democrats in the House, and if he can split them off from the radicals, I think he can make real progress. Now, I'm not familiar with the Ron Johnson bill that you were talking about, but it sounds pretty reasonable as well. Let's our own border secure as well.
It's not a specific bill. Speaker Johnson, whom, as I said, I interviewed him. He laid it out. Finish the wall, end catch and release, restart remain in Mexico. That's what he wants. He laid it out on the air. Now, Schumer hates it, right? Biden hates it. Liz, I think the Republicans have a chance to really make a Custer's last stand here and get some fabulous changes in border policy and foreign policy. Because the Ukraine story, Speaker Johnson is not saying no money for Ukraine, but he's also saying, besides attaching to the border, he's saying, we might give you some money, but you're going to have to set parameters. You're going to have to show us an exit strategy. You're going to have to show us a diplomatic ceasefire mission because it's a stalemate. He called it a stalemate on the show.
Well, and I think that's how the American people see it right now. Joe Biden never comes out or any Pentagon official and says, here's how we're going to win this war. They never talk about an end game. But I want to go back to the Speaker Johnson, because I agree totally with Steve that he has really done a great job here. And I know this for two reasons, one of which is Hakeem Jeffries is out there talking about let's end partisanship and all work for the greater good. That's a great line. Number two, Paul Krugman's column in the New York Times yesterday was headlined, Holding National Security Hostage to Help Tax Cheats, which is so feeble and so preposterous. But you know what Republicans are doing, one, showing a little mettle, and boy, do I think voters want that.
Yes.
And number two, going with popular things. I mean, here's the craziness, Larry. You know, nobody in the country likes what's going on at the border. I mean, I would literally guarantee you 95% of Americans think it's horrific. And all we need is one terrorist attack spawned by someone who came in the country illegally during this open border period under Biden. And you are going to have, I mean, people are going to be furious. They're already furious. So good for Ron Johnson to link any kind of Ukraine aid to that. And good for Speaker. I mean, all of Republicans need to understand they have the high ground here. They have the popular message for once. And let's stand up for these things.
And, you know, the other little piece, but it's not so little. Johnson really is keen, Steve, on offsetting. Any spending increase has to be covered by a spending cut.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's a Newt Gingrich really harped on that. Mike Johnson is harping on that. I mean, that's something Republicans have forgot about, but it's very important.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. You know, I've been saying that you've got to tie, you know, any Israel aid to dollar-for-dollar cuts, but also I'd like to see another provision, which being, okay, you know, we're going to also, to fight terrorism, we're going to start producing more oil and gas here at home.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think about it, this is what, the aid package is what, somewhere between $14 and $20 billion for Israel. You're telling me out of a $6 trillion budget, they can't find $15 billion? I mean, it shows the absurdity of what Liz was just talking about. Liz, I just think there's a revolt in America against the craziness of Washington. That, I mean, it's laughable to say, no, we can't cut 0.5% out of the most obese budget that we've ever seen in the history of the United States. I mean, my God, just take 2% out of the green energy slush fund and you pay for it. They don't want, Larry, they don't want to cut anything. If you look at the 2.5 years that Biden has been in president, you know how many budget cuts he's proposed?
Zero.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah, I know. You cut the deficit by $1 trillion, Steve. By, where have you been?
Right, by $1.7
trillion.
It's a bottomless bottomless Pinocchio.
Yeah.
So the Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline is saying in the last 9 months, speaking of government spending, the biggest job creator in America is... Wait for it. Hang on a second. Hold on. Government.
Yeah.
531,000 jobs. Number one. Healthcare, two. Leisure, three. And social assistance, four. I put social assistance inside government.
Government. Yeah. You know what? That's why, actually, if you look at the other, do you know what the other fastest growing component of the economy is in the last year? Healthcare.
No. Oh, yeah, healthcare, right.
So it's all funded by government.
Exactly.
Yes.
And then, you know what the third biggest component is? Education. So all of these things are tied to government. Then you look at employment in, you know, the sectors of the economy that make things, mining, manufacturing, construction, you know, warehousing. Those are pretty much flat.
Yeah.
So my point is that we're growing the economy, in all the wrong places.
That's right. And I think, you know, I think people know that. I put out a piece yesterday at The Hill about, you know, why people aren't buying Bidenomics. One, every price you look at, everything that you, if you want to go lease a new car, you want to buy a house, whatever, everything is up so much more than 4%.
Yeah.
Nobody believes it. McDonald's price is up 10%. PepsiCo up 10%.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. When Target's CEO comes out, as he did on Friday, I think, or Thursday, and says people are buying less units in grocery, you know, quarter, month to month, quarter to quarter, doesn't anyone kind of perk up their ears and say people are really struggling? I mean, and for, I mean, honestly, the stupidity of Joe Biden's putting his name on economic policies where people are really hurting, you just got to kind of shake your head and say, I mean, what are they thinking?
$20 hamburger, Liz. $20 hamburger.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, Larry, if you go through, and as New Yorkers, I mean, we're always like, wait, what is a taxi? Is now $9.50 when you get in a cab? But also add on top of everything this urge to tip. You're being asked to tip people who hand you a product over the counter.
$20 McD's. So Hannity was complaining. Hannity's complaining about that. I said, all right, don't eat it. It's bad for your arteries.
Yeah, so how about this? How about $8 now for a box of Cocoa Krispies?
Yeah, but I mean, that's the reality that people are seeing when they go to the grocery store.
Liz,
look, Halloween candy was up 13%.
Let me give you another example, because I don't think this is actually reflected in the CPI or accurately.
I don't either.
So here's the thing. If you look at the higher mortgage rates, I talked about this on Fox Business yesterday.
Yep.
That if you look at the difference between an 8% rate for mortgages now and it was 3% under Trump, if you just buy an average, median value home, your mortgage payments, which would have been $1,500 under Trump before all this inflation and interest rate increases, now you're paying like $2,800 a month, double. And if that's pricing people in their 30s and 40s who want to buy their first home out of the market. And that's the kind of inflation that is really killing families. It's making it harder and harder for people to achieve the American dream of owning their own home.
All right. Quick break here. Liz Peek, Fox News, syndicated columnist, Steve Moore, FreedomWorks, Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline, and his great radio show, More Money, WABC radio host, right after this show on many of these same stations. Other side of the break, get ready, kids. The Biden administration wants to regulate AI, artificial intelligence. Kamala Harris says it's very simple. It's just two letters, artificial intelligence. We'll be right back with AI. I'm Kudlow.
Larry Kudlow. From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking money and politics with Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, syndicated columnist, and Steve Moore of FreedomWorks and Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline. It's the best daily product on that subject. And Steve is WABC radio host of More Money, coming up right after this show on many of these same stations. Kids, actually, before we get to AI, there's one more thing. I always make notes for your segment. From the hotline, more evidence that the green energy transition is a myth. So we got, 10 or 20 years to go completely green. The trouble is fossil fuels comprise 79% of energy source share in 2022. That's last year. 79%. Nuclear, 8. And at most, wind and solar, maybe 10. So, Steve, how do we get to whatever it is, net green or net carbon or net some goddamn thing? How do we get to that when you're running 79% right now using fossil fuels?
So this is one of the biggest propaganda campaigns made ever. It's this idea that you've heard it probably 1,000 times, Larry, the great green energy transition, right? It's happening, and the left talks about it every day, the big transition that's happening all over the world towards green energy. It's a fabrication of the truth. Last year, the planet, all countries combined, used more fossil fuels than any other time in the history of the world. There is a transition going on in energy. It's away from green energy, not toward it. I mean, these solar firms are going bankrupt. The wind farm, do you see you were referring to this offshore wind farm. I think it was in New Jersey that they're discontinuing. And yet the media isn't paying any attention. They keep acting like, oh gosh, in 10 years, we're not going to use any fossil fuels. God forbid.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Liz, how those EVs going?
Well, obviously they're not selling, and now we've just had a union deal. I was just tweeting about the fact that Jared Bernstein was on Bloomberg saying this was a win-win for the industry and for the unions. Okay, it's going to raise the cost of an average car, according to Ford, $850 to $900. So I guess it's not a win for consumers. It's going to cost GM $4.5 billion. So I guess maybe it's not a win for them either. This is a win for big labor, a union that, you know, historically has been basically incredibly corrupt. And now Joe Biden is all in on the EV program, which is going, which has basically led to this militancy on the part of the UAW, because they know their futures are in doubt.
Can I just correct Liz on one thing? I agree with everything you said, except one thing. I think that these unions are making a huge, huge mistake. They should be fighting against these EVs.
Of course,
the batteries are made in China. All the stuff is being imported in the United States. People aren't buying the EVs. I think they're making a deal with the devil, and it's going to, in the long run, really hurt the unions.
Well, Steve, worse than that, I don't know if you've been following this, but in Europe, EVs are now up to, I think, 14-15% of auto sales. European automakers are hysterical because the Chinese are flooding the European market with cheap EVs, which, by the way, are very good. They're basically complete knockoffs of Tesla, but they only cost about $30,000. So guess what? In a couple of years, those guys are going to be looking at the U.S. market, and there's going to be nothing our car companies can do.
Exactly.
So they will basically be on they're going to be on Joe Biden or whoever is president at that point to say, tariffs are what we need. We need bailouts from consumers. I mean, you know, it's so awful what they're doing to the U.S. auto industry, and they won't be around probably to pick up the pieces, but taxpayers will be there to do just that.
By the way, if you look at Holman Jenkins's column, in round numbers, if I recall, the UAW settlement is about $80 an hour wages. Non-union, 50.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it was kind of self-destruct.
Larry, there's a reason why over the last 30 years, more and more of these auto plants have moved to states like Tennessee and Texas and South Carolina because they don't want to be dominated by the unions. But, like, what kind of a union tries to destroy the companies that it works for?
Mm.
I mean, it just doesn't make very much sense if you want. And, look, I'm not against unions, and I do want unions to get the best deal they can. But, boy, they should be making cars that Americans want. By the way, another statistic, Texas Public Policy Foundation, Ford lost over $40,000 for every EV they made. That's a real good business proposition.
So, Liz, in the last minutes here, the AI story, I don't know that I understand AI, except there's like an 8-page presidential executive order that basically they're going to regulate all parts of artificial intelligence. Do we have an opinion on this stuff?
When the government tries to regulate something that, A, they don't understand, and, B, that's in formation, and basically they will only do this. They will only box out American companies from being in the forefront of technology. If they could have done it in developing the Internet, they would have, Larry. Thankfully, they didn't. But this is going to be another mess. And honestly, to put Kamala Harris in front of this, I mean, forgive me.
Well, she said it was very simple. It's just two letters, artificial intelligence.
Right.
And then did you see what Vivek Ramaswamy said? He said, I don't even think she can spell AI.
Well, they got a bunch of working groups. They got a police, and this thing is just... I got to get Jimmy Petakoukas on. Jimmy P. wrote a good article about this. I mean, it really, I think you're right, Liz. It will stunt, will stunt American growth and innovation in this important area. Everything, and by the way, there's all kinds of equity, you know, civil rights protections here, gender protections, the whole nine yards, all the DEI stuff is in here. I mean, it's a terrible thing. You know what, kids? We need a new president.
Oh, no kidding.
I really have come to the view, after much thought, that we need a new president.
It's a revelation, Larry. Go with it.
Can I go back to one thing on this AI thing? Because this is really important. I mean, if you go back to the early 90s, to the mid-90s, when right after Al Gore invented the Internet, you know, the for once, Washington made a really, really smart decision. And Chris Cox, remember Chris Cox? Yep. He was one of the people who was behind us. And basically what we just, I'm simplifying, but we basically said, you know what? We're going to make the Internet tax-free, regulation-free, and lawsuit-free.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we created trillions and trillions of, I mean, Apple, Google, Amazon, you know, all these incredible companies that were produced. Why don't we do that with AI? Just make it the Wild West. Let these companies do it.
Do you have a story on that someplace? That's a really good point, Chris Cox. This was while he was a House member, right?
Yeah, you should, Larry, you should get Chris on your show one time.
Yeah.
He was the hero here.
Yeah,
and
he's a smart guy.
Now we have people who want to, you know, the lawsuits against these great companies. They want to have, you know, more regulation. And let's just let it be the Wild West. Boy, did it work for the, I mean, we have the commanding heights, the Magnificent Seven. They're all companies that were created because of this deregulation environment.
So my guess is what all these companies will do is go to Europe, go elsewhere to do the work that they should be doing in the U.S. I don't know how they'll manage it, but I'm pretty sure that's what will happen.
It's like, what are we afraid of?
Yeah,
all
good question.
These, you know, this was true with the Internet. This was true with the software revolution. Always we're afraid of it. This was true with the buggy whip makers when Henry Ford came along with the gas-powered automobile. What we're going to create, there will be some losses, and there will be magnificent, huge gains in jobs and output and wealth, right?
Yep. I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing. I mean, we desperately need productivity growth in this country, and this is where it's going to come from. So my view is just stand back, let it happen. And if there are excesses, if it gets into trouble, then step in. But this preemptive strike against innovation, it's just horrifying to me.
I like that tax-free AI. I love that idea. Holy cow.
And regulation-free.
All right, kids, you're both terrific on that. Liz Peek, Fox News, Steve Moore, Committee to Unleash. Stick around on many of these stations, WABC Radio. More money's coming up. I'm Kudlow. We'll be back next weekend. Thank you, folks.